brought to you by Penguin.
Patrimony by Philip Roth. Read by Malcolm Hilgartner.
For our family, the living and the dead. 1. Well, what do you think? My father had lost most of the sight in his right eye by the time he'd reached 86, but otherwise he seemed in phenomenal health for a man his age when he came down with what the Florida doctor diagnosed incorrectly as Bell's palsy, a viral infection that causes paralysis, usually temporary, to one side of the face. The paralysis appeared out of nowhere the day after he had flown from New Jersey to West Palm Beach to spend the winter months sharing a sublet apartment with a retired bookkeeper of 70, Lillian Beloff, who lived upstairs from him in Elizabeth and with whom he had become romantically involved a year after my mother died in 1981. At the West Palm airport, he had been feeling so fit that he hadn't even bothered with a porter, whom besides he would have had to tip, and carried his own luggage from the baggage area all the way out to the taxi stand. Then the next morning, in the bathroom mirror, he saw that half his face was no longer his. What had looked like him the day before now looked like nobody. The lower lid of the bad eye bagged downward, revealing the lid's inner lining. The cheek on that side had gone slack and lifeless as though beneath the bone had been filleted. And his lips were no longer straight, but drawn down diagonally across his face. With his hand, he pushed the right cheek back to where it had been the night before, holding it there for the count of 10. He did this repeatedly that morning, and every day thereafter, but when he let go, it wouldn't stay. He tried to tell himself that he had lain the wrong way in bed, that his skin was simply furrowed from sleep, but what he believed was that he'd had a stroke. His father had been crippled by a stroke back in the early 1940s, and once he'd become an old man himself, he said to me several times, "I don't want to go the way he did. I don't want to lie there like that. That's my worst fear." He told me how he used to stop off to see his father at the hospital early in the morning on the way downtown to the office, and again on his way home at night. Twice a day he lit cigarettes and stuck them in his father's mouth for him, and in the evening he sat beside the bed and read to him from the Yiddish paper. Immobilized and helpless, with only his cigarettes to soothe him, Cinder Roth lingered for almost a year, and until a second stroke finished him off late one night in 1942, my father, twice each day, sat and watched him die. The doctor who told my father that he had Bell's palsy assured him that in a short time most, if not all, of the facial paralysis would be gone, and within days of his getting this prognosis, it was confirmed for him by three different people in just his section of the vast condominium development who'd had the same ailment and recovered. One of them had had to wait for nearly 4 months, but eventually the paralysis went away as mysteriously as it had come. His didn't go away. He soon couldn't hear out of his right ear. The Florida doctor examined the ear and measured the hearing loss, but told him it had nothing to do with the Bell's palsy. It was just something that happened with age. He had probably been losing the hearing in the right ear as gradually as he had lost the sight in the right eye, and only now had noticed it. This time when my father asked how much longer the doctor thought he'd have to wait before the Bell's palsy disappeared, the doctor told him that in cases that continued as long as his had, it sometimes never disappeared. "Look, count your blessings," the doctor said. Except for a blind eye, a deaf ear, and a half-paralyzed face, he was as healthy as a man 20 years younger. When I phoned each Sunday, I could hear that as a consequence of the drooping mouth, his speech had become slurred and difficult to follow. He sounded at times like someone fresh from the dental chair whose Novocaine hadn't worn off. When I flew to Florida to see him, I was startled to find him looking as though he might not be able to speak at all. "Well," he said, in the lobby of my hotel where I was meeting Lil and him for dinner, "what do you think?" Those were his first words, even as I bent over to kiss him. He was sunk down beside Lil in a tapestried love seat, but his face was aimed straight up at me so that I could see what had happened. Over the last year, he had
Sample complete. Ready to continue?